Gravity had a good run, but it's time to feel the weightlessness of the Brooks Glycerin 21. These running shoes feature nitrogen-infused DNA Loft V3 cushioning. Brooks has even magnified the plushness to elevate the softness to new levels. And if you want extra support, find these same features in the Brooks Glycerin GTS 21. Learn more and shop now at brooksrunning.com. That's brooksrunning.com.
Bah! Guess growl, Ramona. Let's go. Let's go. Boy, Morales wasn't kidding. We have a bunch of stuff to do today. And yes, the biggest story of the day is a sad one. We got word maybe an hour ago that the great Elgin Baylor has passed. Ramona, one of the coolest things that that my sportscasting career in Los Angeles produced was I got to know Elgin pretty well. He was the GM of the Clippers when I got to the market, and then after he left the Clippers, he used to come to Laker games all the time, and I know you got to talk to him too. And the best news we have for the audience is at 2:15 today, Jerry West is going to join us to talk about Elgin, who he played with and was good friends with. But Ramona, your thoughts on Elgin passing away?
Well, I mean, it's something Kobe Bryant always used to say is like, man, people, because Kobe was a real student of the game, and he was like, people don't realize how good Elgin Baylor was. Like, if Elgin played in a different era, all of us would be talking about him as one of the greatest of all time. Like, in that same conversation with Jordan and LeBron and Kobe and all those guys. Like, he was that good. And I think, I don't think he gets nearly enough credit for all the years he spent as an executive. I think that, you know, the Clippers being terrible sticks to his legacy in a way that's not really fair. And it was actually really heartening for me to see him sort of be recognized with a statue outside of Staples Center by the Lakers and sort of folded back into the Laker family after his time with the Clippers ended so unceremoniously. I mean, right. He just kind of got shoved out there and like, I'm glad in his later years, people got to have an appreciation for Elgin because he really was that good.
My dad used to tell me, who was roughly the same age as Elgin, yeah. Elgin died today at 86, that had Elgin come along in the ESPN era, had there been TV, he would have been Jordan before Jordan.
Yeah.
That those were the type of skills he had. So, again, Jerry West, 2:15 today to talk about the late, great Elgin Baylor. Ramona, on top of that, the NCAA tournament is going on right now. Both USC and UCLA play today. We'll stay on top of that. Later in the show, Jay Billis is going to join us. But the big story over the weekend, I was there on Saturday. LeBron has an eversion sprain of his right ankle. He is out indefinitely. And frankly, when it happened, I was really scared because I've never seen LeBron yell like that. I've never seen him pound the ground like that. I was worried that it was perhaps worse and potentially season-ending. And it was a huge relief when he got up and went back in the game. But I have no sense as to when or if LeBron will be back anytime soon. Dr. Clapper is going to come on later and explain, you know, what you're looking for in these sprained ankles. But, yeah, I mean, you talk to a lot of people. What are you hearing in regards to the injury?
Well, I mean, I was like you when I saw it. I was like, oh, no. Like, when Solomon Hill fell on LeBron's leg. And the Lakers were not happy with that play, by the way. A couple of – Montrezl Harrell had some strong words. Some other Lakers had some strong words after the game about just the recklessness of that play, the way that Solomon Hill fell on his leg. I mean, it looked – I thought he had, like, a knee injury or something. It looked really – or, like, some kind of – in some ways, it was almost a relief that it was a high ankle sprain. And I couldn't believe he stayed in the game, and he hit – remember he retaped it and got a – and hit a three afterwards. And it was like, okay, well, maybe he's okay. I mean, I don't know how he'd be okay after that. It looked terrible. But look, this is just one of these things where some years you survive the injury bug relatively unscathed and other years are like this. And you got to be able to win both of them despite both of them. So now you're really in this mode as if you're the Lakers, where you just got to get through the season and into the playoffs and don't worry about your seeding.
Well, and I think that's where we're at now. And, you know, you hear this phrase all the time. People say next man up. And I'm sure these guys are going to try as hard as they possibly can. But ask the Warriors how well that works when your best players all get hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, LeBron and AD are two of the top five players in the NBA. Maybe one and two, depending on who you talk to. So, these are huge losses. Can they win a few games without him? Yeah, but they're going to slide, realistically, in the standings. The schedule is brutal the next 3 weeks. Ramon, is it fair to say that, I don't even know. If you look at the standings, they're 2.5 games out of sixth place, and seventh place is the play-in tournament. I don't think it matters where they get in. I think they'd like to avoid the play-in tournament, though, don't you?
Oh, definitely. Everybody wants to avoid that play-in tournament because that to me is it's like March Madness. It's not really, you could have one bad game or one bad shooting night and you're done. And so I think that they just need to stay out of that play-in tournament. So
finish anywhere one through six. And by the way, what'll be interesting to watch is, let's say they end up fifth or sixth. Watch the gymnastics that the other teams do trying to avoid playing the Lakers in the first round. Because nobody's going to want to play the Lakers with a healthy AD and a healthy LeBron. As soon as LeBron got hurt, the odds in Vegas went off the Lakers to be the favorites to win the title. Brooklyn is now the favorites to win the title. But when LeBron and AD come back, those could change right back at the top. And, some people have suggested that it may be a blessing that, LeBron and AD didn't get much of a break after winning the title last year.
Yeah.
This is kind of built-in rest, and as long as they come back healthy, they may be stronger than ever when the playoffs start. You buy that?
I do, and I think, look at what's going on in Miami right now. You've been following the Heat. They had the same short layoff that the Lakers did. They came back. A bunch of their guys got hurt. Jimmy Butler got COVID. Like, really, he was really out with COVID for a while. A bunch of their guys got it, and, I think Jimmy lost a bunch of weight, and he was really struggling with it. You know what? They've started to turn it around. They're starting to win again. And they had an artificial break, right, through injuries or people getting COVID or COVID or just being in the protocols for contact tracing. And now they're starting to roll again. And so I think that this is probably just needed to happen in some way or another. And the Lakers are just, I would consider them in a way lucky that these injuries aren't worse. I mean, these are injuries you can come back from, knock on wood, okay? But they're not season-ending injuries.
Right. Now, if LeBron does miss a month, you have votes and things like this. Is he still in the MVP conversation? I would argue he is because Embiid's missed a bunch of time, too.
Yeah, it's really interesting what's happened now, John. It was one of my questions in Fast Track, so I don't want to give away all the odds yet.
Okay.
But essentially, these odds have shifted a lot over the last couple, in both MVP and Rookie of the Year, because LaMelo Ball now just broke his wrist.
Right.
And he's going to miss the rest of the year. So these odds have really shifted. And, I think if they come back, I think the injury hurts you if you miss a lot of time, somebody else will gain some steam. So I actually think James Harden is going to come into the MVP conversation a lot more.
He basically ruined the Rockets. Can you give the MVP to a guy who quit on the Rockets and sent him on a 20-game losing streak?
I think that people just might because of how good he's been in Brooklyn. It'll be a fascinating discussion because everybody now has either a period of time when they were out because of injury or a period of time when they were out because they just didn't want to be there, right? and I think that this MVP race is now just totally wide open. Doesn't mean LeBron and Embiid are not in it. If they come back and they're great, you'll just kind of overlook this stretch. But this has opened the door for guys like Damian Lillard, Steph Curry, James Harden to play their way into that MVP conversation. Whereas before, I thought it was really just maybe a 2 or 3 horse race between Embiid, LeBron, and Jokic to some extent. But I don't even think Jokic anymore because Denver's been such a disappointment.
Well, but they've all got time. I mean, these standings could shuffle again. I think the Lakers could finish anywhere between 1 and 6. I hope they just stay in that window. Because I think if they finish anywhere between 1 and 6 in the West, I love their chances to defend their title. I just think that if they get those guys healthy, they'll be fine. What you don't want is to slide out of that, and then a whole bunch of variables come into place. I think they've built enough of a cushion where they're in the playoffs for sure. Wouldn't you agree?
Whoa.
They're not going to drop to 11th.
No, I don't think they will. And there's a lot of teams. Well, yeah, okay, so you're counting the play-in tournament as playoffs.
I am, yeah.
Okay.
Because I think if they fall to the play-in tournament, while that would be unfortunate, they'd win it. I mean, I think that by that point, they'd have LeBron and AD back, and they'd just be rolling people. And I'm in the camp where take those guys, those guys should take as much time as they need. I don't think regular season wins are valuable at the expense of either one of their injuries. So if AD needs another 2-3 weeks, give it to him. If LeBron needs a month, give it to him. Just be ready by the time the postseason starts, and I think the Lakers are the team to beat.
Yeah. And in some ways, this will be good for guys like Dennis Schroeder and Montrez and KCP, Kuzma. Like, look, these guys are the role players who need to have big years if the Lakers are going to do anything in the playoffs anyway.
Well,
and
I think taking it a step further than that, you cover this stuff more than I do. Mm-hmm. Does this change what the Lakers might do on Thursday, which is the NBA trade deadline?
At first, my reaction was, yes, it creates more of a sense of urgency. But you have to the latest conversations that I've been having. I mean, I know the Lakers are out there, and they're definitely out there on some guys that you would be surprised about that are available, that are they're making calls on this stage. The question is, THT, right? He has played so Talen Horton Tucker has played so good in the last couple of weeks. He's really been blossoming,
right? And he's 20.
Now, I know he's going to be a restricted free agent, and he'll get a big offer sheet, but he is so good that is the only guy teams really want. I mean, that's not the only guy, but he's the guy that everybody asks for. So is he so good that you don't want to trade him now? Like, has he played so well and shown so much that you're afraid to trade him in a way? I mean, that's kind of the decision they have to make going forward, because right. He's so young, he's so good, and now it's not like trading a guy on speculation about how good he might be. We've started to really see it the last few weeks.
Right. The way I would answer that is I would say I don't think Rob Pelinka wanted to trade Brandon Ingram and Lonzo. I think he liked him.
Yep.
But when it became evident that he could get Anthony Davis, it changes the dynamic. It all depends what player you're talking about. I know for a fact they love THT. Love him. And they think the world of him. So, you just kind of got to trust Rob that he knows where all the pieces on the board are and that he's going to make the right decision. He's proven that he's really good at that. Like a lot of people have been asking me over the past couple of days, why didn't the Lakers sign Damian Jones? Damian Jones had those two 10-day contracts. Yeah. He looked really good. They liked Damian Jones. They had nothing but great things to say about him. But Rob's looking at the whole board. I mean, he's looking at available roster spots. Yep. He's looking at potential buyout candidates. And he's, I guess the easiest way to say this, he knows more than you do. If you're out there saying, well, they shouldn't have done this, you shouldn't have done that, blah, blah, blah. He knows what he's doing. And so you got to trust that the guy you have in the chair is going to make the right decisions. So I still feel good about the Lakers, even though they've had these injuries. It's going to be hard, because there's some really good games coming up. New Orleans tomorrow night, it's going to be tough in New Orleans. Philadelphia is coming in here Thursday. Boy, you talk about a game that Ramona has looked unbelievable as recently as 2 weeks ago. It was Joel Embiid, LeBron James, maybe AD coming back. Now no Embiid, no LeBron, no AD. And that's going to be, there's a Milwaukee game coming up. There's a game with the Clippers, not this weekend, but next weekend. And all these games are going to be really hard to win, assuming LeBron and AD are still out. But like you were saying, you just got to weather the storm. If you weather the storm and you realize you're getting those guys back and reinforcements are on the way. And remember last year, when the trade deadline happened, the Lakers didn't make any trades, but they went out and they signed Markieff Morris. Mm-hmm. They signed J.R. Smith. They signed Deion Waiters, and all those guys contributed. So there may be buyout candidates that change the narrative moving here. It may not be a trade. It may be somebody else gives up on a great player. He gets bought out, comes to the Lakers, and, Markieff Morris was a rotation player in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, and I think that there are going to be it's an interesting dynamic right now, John. There's so many teams that are so tightly bunched in the middle of the standings. There's nobody really running away with it. And a lot of and some of those teams feel like they should be higher up the standings. Like, let's say the Celtics or the Nuggets, they feel like they've had a disappointing season for one reason or another, and they're a little more motivated to really to either go for it or to take a bigger swing. But then there's other teams that, and this is what several GMs I was talking to the other day were saying, there's a lot of teams that think they're in it, even though they really aren't in it because of the play-in tournament, right?
Right, right.
So teams that really should be sellers are still buyers, okay? And guys that would be available. Like, let's use a team like the Bulls, for example. The Bulls are they're theoretically competing for a playoff spot, and they did an interesting thing a couple weeks ago where they kind of benched two of their young guys. They brought Coby White off the bench now, right? Who was their rookie last year who had a couple of
really
big games.
Yeah, he's been really good.
He's really good, and they're playing Thaddeus Young as a starter now. Thaddeus Young is a really good rotation player who could help a lot of teams.
Right, but now he's probably not available anymore.
Right, and he should be, right? If it wasn't for the play-in tournament, the Bulls would be thinking and should be thinking about trading. Now, the Bulls are also another team that are mentioned in the conversations about Lonzo Ball, okay? He would fit great there. Atlanta's another team that's been mentioned for Lonzo Ball. Well, why would for Lonzo right now, what would that be? They're trying to make the playoffs. They haven't made
right.
it in a while.
You're going to hear that a lot.
Make the playoffs, right?
Yep, that's a good
so
point.
So the same thing that happened with the wild card in baseball when they added those play-in, you know, the wild card games. There's all these teams and all these players that would normally be available that are not as available now. And now you also have competition from those teams who are trying to trade for players to help them out in trying to make the playoffs.
Yeah, so we're keeping an eye on all of that. The Lakers play tomorrow. 4:30 game in New Orleans. We'll have that for you. Today, right now, as we speak, the NCAA tournament's going on, and I can't ever remember a year with this many upsets. This is Did you fill out a bracket?
I filled out about five.
But and you're I not in them, the I ESPN just, contest.
I am. I thought I filled it out correctly. And I'm in our group. It's just Mama Momo something, but okay. It didn't get linked.
I think Lindsay has figured out a way to look at all that stuff. I can't. I had to sign out and sign back in.
I thought. Well, you know what it is. I clicked on my name when I was in the bracket, and I tried to add it to the ESPN LA group, but I don't think I added it right. But anyway, I know I'm in there because it shows up in my brackets. Anyway, I'm out of it anyway because I picked Illinois to win.
I picked Illinois too. I mean, yeah. There are so many people.
Boy, the Big Ten sucks.
Yeah,
can
and
I
the
just
Pac
say, can we all
12
just say,
is 7-0. All right, we'll get into all that coming up next. Oh. Momo Informace. By the way, both USC and UCLA play today. UCLA plays in an hour. We'll have it all for you. 7:10 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
By the way, that's the voice of Chris Morales, dead last in our bracket pool. And that's saying something because Mason and I both picked Ohio State and Illinois to go into the Final Four, and they're both out. It has been a crazy March Madness so far, and it's going on today. Ramona Shelburne in for Mace. Was Illinois your eventual champ, Momo?
Yeah, you know, and
me
I really
too,
blame
by the way.
Myself, okay? Because one of the last games that I watched, and this is also to say one of the first games that I watched of the college basketball season, okay, was the Big Ten championship game between Ohio State and Illinois. And all I've been hearing all year is how great the Big Ten is, and oh, they could have so all these teams that are going to be in the tournament. And I was like, wow, Illinois must be really good. It was a good game. They beat Ohio State. And I actually watched like the third and fourth quarter of that game, and I was like, okay, Illinois, yeah, let's go with Illinois. That's good.
The
and I just didn't
same experience. It was
just
unbelievable. And the funny thing is that I think most people's brackets are busted, but I don't know if I've ever been this wrong about anything. I mean, I've been and the people are below me. I mean, Mason's below me. Lindsay, did you fall below Mason?
I think I'm behind him by 20 points right now.
All right, so you got time.
I have 250. Is that good?
Yeah, it's.
I mean,
is
it says I've
year.
Got 37%. I mean, this is terrible. Like, I mean,
yeah,
I think
well,
the only thing
right
I've
now,
done right is I did pick Oregon.
The best right now in our group is Sedano. He has 250 points.
And he, I think Sedano picked Gonzaga to win it all, and they look unbeatable. Mm-hmm. Gonzaga looks like the team to beat. And one thing is, if you look at some of these brackets, though, the seeds that are making it, the Midwest bracket is a complete mess. I mean, there's like a 12, a 13, an 8, and a 2. I mean, that's pretty unbelievable. I mean, nobody had Oregon State going out as far as they did. Very few people picked Oral Roberts or Illinois, Chicago. But, I mean, you look at it, you know, Oral Roberts is a 15. Ramona, there's only been one other 15 to win two games in the tournament ever.
Yeah, it was Andy Ansfield at Florida Gulf Coast University.
Right.
When he was there, the USC coach, right? I mean, he was – and I think what's interesting about this year's tournament is – you know, usually what do you do when you prep for your picks? You go, you kind of pay attention to the conference tournaments. You watch, okay, let's watch the Big East tournament, Georgetown. Well, that didn't work out. Okay. Like whoever got hot at the end there, Illinois. Well, yeah, that didn't work out. The Ohio State, those two teams are supposed to be the ones that pulled away here. And usually pick, if you pick teams that were hot at the end of the year, that usually carries over. That totally hasn't worked. Then you go and read the prediction columns that the college basketball experts write. And they're pretty good at giving you a hint on who might be upset picks, a good upset picks. Pretty much none of those except for Ohio has panned out. Everybody was picking Ohio as a 13 seed that could win. But a lot of those 12 seeds that were supposed to win didn't pan out. And we usually don't see upsets past the 13 seed. You don't usually see 14s beating threes or 15s beating twos.
The pod that UCLA's in, you know, the four teams that they're in, they're an 11. UCLA is an 11. Coming up in about an hour, they play Abilene Christian, who's a 14. So it's 11 against a 14. And the other side of that bracket is Maryland, who's a 10, and Alabama, that's a 2. So you got 11, 14, 10, and a 2. That's never happened.
Well, and I have an issue too. Like UCLA, they lost 4 out of their last 5 games in the regular season and the Pac-12 tournament.
They came into that play-in game on a 4-game losing streak.
Yeah. They were not hot, but they really shouldn't have been an 11 seed. I do like the idea the committee's been doing of, you know, letting those bubble teams, like the last 4 in, last 4 out, like they play in that first 4 tournament. Play your way into the tournament. If you win that, then you deserve to be in. I like that. But I didn't like that Michigan State and UCLA were those two teams, because I thought those two teams should have been in. I didn't think they really were bubble teams. It was just UCLA finished the season so poorly, they ended up there. And Michigan State, to me, was a really good team. They had wins over one seeds and all that. But, clearly the wins over the one seeds weren't all that impressive, considering the one seeds have really – really let us down. Well, ones and twos so far.
I got to tell you, I've watched UCLA a lot this year. I love this group. And I'm not even sure they have an NBA player. Maybe Juzang. Jaquez is just an unbelievable college player. I never want him to come out of the game. But they just play harder than the other team. They don't always win, but they play super hard on defense. I think Mick Cronin's a really good coach. They attack every possession on offense. I think they're going to win today and make it to the Sweet 16, which would be really cool. I mean, but Abilene Christian played great against Texas. I mean, all bets are off in this tournament. Other than Gonzaga, I think every team looks beatable. By the way, Gonzaga's playing right now. They're up 71-59 with 7 minutes to go against Oklahoma, and they'll be into the Sweet 16. They would be the first undefeated champ. Do you know since when, Momo?
Like the 70s or something, right?
1976, Indiana.
Yeah, long time ago. Because that UNLV team had a chance to do it, but they did. You know, they didn't pull it
lost
off.
Lost to Duke in the tournament, but I think this tournament's been as fun to watch as anyone I can remember. Maybe that I have a been. Biased.
I was completely uninterested in college basketball all year. And I was in that chair all weekend watching every damn game. And the last few years, it hasn't like got me like that. And I was like, man, these are good games. This is interesting. And there were so many random Abilene Christian, Oral Roberts. Like, what? I mean, raise your hand if you knew where Oral Roberts was. State it was.
I had a quiz. That was the game of games the other day. By the way, stay tuned for a game of games today. Ramona's game, and you know how that goes. It could be the greatest game ever or complete trash dumpster fire. But that was my game of games. I picked all these obscure schools from the tournament and said, name the city.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really hard to do. You know, I mentioned UCLA is playing Abilene Christian today. Tonight, USC plays Kansas. And Ramona, USC's the 6 seed. Kansas is the 3 seed, but USC's favored. Ah. That's only the second time a 6 seed's been favored over to 3 seed.
I gotta
ever.
Tell you, I think USC is really good. I watched them, of course, I watched them over the weekend, so now I feel like I'm an expert on them. I mean, part of me was just curious too, because Evan Mobley's going to be one of the top 3 picks in the draft, and we wanted to watch him a little. Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State, those guys. And I'll tell you what, it's really fun as somebody from LA for our two, you know, marquee college teams to be good again and to be in the tournament, competing for the Sweet 16 if both of them are in. Because I came up, John, when UCLA was UCLA. I mean, that was like, it was like
the
Lakers and then UCLA and then the Clippers somewhere, you know, maybe even a fourth compared to USC, right?
Oregon, by beating Iowa this morning, has advanced to the Sweet 16, and if USC wins tonight, they play Oregon. It's a Pac-12 game in the next round. So it's a lot of fun to watch. I think they may even look into, in the future, playing all these games in one city. They're doing this because of the pandemic, but it's been so successful and so fun that I think that they may, you know, not probably within the next couple of years, but maybe down the road, just turning it into a one destination thing, because this thing has been unbelievably exciting and close, and they're playing all the games in different gyms around Indianapolis. And
if it wasn't the pandemic, it would be really fun socially too. Everybody could be hanging out the whole time.
Right. And it's been, I mean, tons more upsets than I can ever remember, and buzzer beaters. And, you know, other than Gonzaga, every team looks like they could be beat, and every team looks like they could win. I mean, it's been that good of a tournament. Okay, coming up next, what is an aversion sprain? That is what LeBron has. I had never heard that term until this week. And what are we looking for in terms of progress? When do we know, or when will we know, that LeBron could come back? Our doctor, Dr. Clapper, will join us next, answer all of our dumb questions about ankle sprains. And a reminder, coming up later, Fast Track, and then Jerry West will join us to talk about the late, great Elgin Baylor. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Mason in Ireland, Ramona in for Mason. Yes, one of the great perks, Momo, of working at 710 ESPN is we have access to one of the world's great orthopedic surgeons, Dr. Robert Clapper from Cedars-Sinai Hospital, who is the host of the Weekend Warrior show, which is like no other show we have on the radio, by the way. If you've never heard the Weekend Warrior, I encourage you to listen. Doc does a great job of weaving in medical advice with stories and background stuff, and it's just
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
There's no other show like it, and Doc's nice enough to join us now. Hi, Dr. Clapper. How are you?
Hi, John Ireland. Boy, I've got a smile from ear to ear, and thanks to Chris Morales. And I'm going to talk this Saturday, actually, about Marvin Gaye singing the national anthem in 1983, which I know the two of you are well aware of. But before I get started, I want to give a shout-out to my mailman, Kevin.
Okay.
Who, when I told him I'm going on with Mason in Ireland at 1:30, he said, "Isn't that the show where one of the guys is always on vacation?"
Kevin, awesome. You got the right show. Okay, Doc,
let
me start with this. Explain to me what the term aversion fracture means, which I understand LeBron has. I'm just not familiar with that term. What is an aversion fracture?
So there are 6 degrees of freedom for your neck. Here's a Clapper vision, which will help. You can nod your head forwards and backwards. That's flexing your neck. You can tilt your head side to side so your ear touches your shoulder. That's lateral bending. And then you can rotate your head from side to side. 6 different degrees of freedom is what a joint can do, particularly your ankle joint. The typical ankle sprain is rolling your ankle in. But look at Dak Prescott on the field. Look at Gordon Hayward in the NBA. They had eversion injuries, and God, that's all I thought about when I watched LeBron James. Thank God he's so big and strong, but it's when your foot goes outwards, it everts, and the key is that's why he has this particular injury, which we'll get into.
So where is the actual injury? They call it a high ankle sprain, but what does that actually mean?
So I'm going to give you a clapper vision that no one else could come up with. So Daniel Boone used to ride in a canoe, and that canoe had an oar, and it was a simple canoe because he went up and down rivers and streams. There's no waves. The ancient Polynesians tried to use the same canoe, and guess what happened? They drowned. Because if you take that canoe in the ocean, one big wave comes, it's unstable. It's going to knock you out. So when you watch Hawaii 5-0, that whole intro, the Hawaiians are in the canoe, but they have an outrigger off to the side that gives stability to the boat so that when the wave comes, they don't fall out. I want you to now clapper vision. The boat is the tibia, the big bone. That's where the men are sitting in the Hawaii 5-0 canoe. The outrigger that keeps it stable is the fibula. This is the bone that's right next to the tibia, and they're joined by a canvas-like material. The canoe has rope, but you and I have ligaments, and we have something called the syndesmosis, a canvas-like material that joins the tibia and the fibula. The low ankle sprain injures ligaments close to the ankle and the foot, but a high ankle sprain, as John Ireland points out, the eversion injury, is literally like pulling the outrigger from the main canoe. It pulls it apart. It separates it. You're ripping the ligament and the syndesmosis that joins the outrigger to the main canoe, the tibia to the fibula. Extremely painful.
Dr. Robert Clapper, nice enough to join us explaining what is going on with LeBron's ankle. Okay, so last night we saw him in a boot, Dr. Clapper, in Phoenix. So they've immobilized it. Tell us where somebody who suffers this high ankle eversion sprain, where does he go from here? Is rest first? Does he start, I've always heard, ice for the first 2-3 days, and then you can start doing stuff. What's a typical plan to recovery when somebody has this injury?
So to paint the picture is we've all cut our skin. It bleeds. It makes a clot so it stops bleeding. It then makes a scab. This is the process that you can witness on the outside of your body. Well, I'm here to tell you as an orthopedic surgeon, that process, that cascade, one step leading to another, is how things like a syndesmosis, like the ligament attaching the tibia to the fibula, they're going to bleed, make a clot, make a scab, and heal. In rare cases, Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback for Alabama, now in Miami, 3 weeks after he did a high ankle sprain, he had surgery the next day and was playing 3 weeks later in the national championship. I'm not suggesting at all that this is something that needs surgery. This should be allowed to heal on its own. As you say, with the boot, how long does it take? As much as you want to be a superstar trainer, good luck. You cannot fight Mother Nature. We can enhance the healing. These types of injuries, depending on how much is ripped, is what determines how quickly you'll be back. But this is not a day's type of injury. This is more of a week's type of injury. And he's so big and strong and so special. You know, if it was you and me, I'd say 6 weeks. But realistically, it could be 3 to 4 weeks, and no one really knows. I don't want to be that guy guessing, but you're going to see a protracted period of time. But again, the fact that there was a collision involved, that someone hit him, is different psychologically to the player than Anthony Davis, where no one touched him and he hurt his Achilles tendon. And that, I think, is going to enhance the ability for LeBron James to come back quick, because he knows he was hit. It was a collision. His body didn't let him down.
So when you mentioned earlier, when we first saw the injury, it looked a lot worse. And LeBron does amazing strength and conditioning exercises. He has strong legs, strong ankles. How is it that he was able to avoid a more serious injury there?
Because there is a burglar alarm. I know you have a house in the Valley, Ramon.
Yeah.
That you have a burglar alarm sensor, so you're sleeping at night, and if the window goes up, the alarm goes off. There's a clapper vision. There is a sensor in our ligament, okay, that goes to the brain, that when your ankle is in an unusual position, the ligament has that sensor, the burglar alarm goes off. It's a fancy word is called proprioception. It signals to the brain, uh-oh, this ankle is moving in an abnormal way. It sends this electronic signal, neuromuscular, to the brain. And what does the brain do? Without you thinking about it, subconsciously, you immediately, as a reflex, you fire your muscles. And that's why I remember vividly when Kawhi Leonard sprained his ankle. And everybody made fun of him because he took time off and it's just a first ankle sprain. When you sprain that ligament, that early easy sprain, you disrupt the feedback to the brain and it really puts you at risk for a worse injury later. So that's how the body deals with it. You saw LeBron James tweak his ankle. His powerful muscles prevented this from going further and a horrific injury that we saw, as I mentioned, Gordon Haywood and Dak Prescott.
Last thing for you, Dr. Clapper, and this is a different injury. We saw LaMelo Ball, who I got to call his game the other day at Staples Center. He was having a rookie of the year season, playing really well. He has a fractured wrist. They say that he's getting second and third opinions, but isn't the truth that if that wrist is indeed fractured, we're talking months, right? That's season ending normally.
It's too hard for me to say. There's eight bones that make up your wrist, and my best Clapper vision for the wrist bones is a beaded necklace. Okay. Where the string that holds the beads together are these ligaments that keep them all together. And they work as a single unit, even though it's eight different bones. So I have to know the specific bone. Because if it's the scaphoid bone in the wrist, that's going to be months. But if it's a different bone, the distal radius, for example, you'll be back sooner. And remember this, and I know you always point this out, John Ireland, when you do the games. The difference between a lower extremity and an upper extremity injury. In the case of LeBron and Anthony Davis, these are lower extremity injuries. So aerobically, you need time to get back into NBA shape. It's not just coming back. But when you have a wrist injury, you can still run and stay in shape for this to go on to heal. So I need to know more about LaMelo Ball. Which bone?
They said it was his injury. The wrist, and it was near his thumb. That's the one I heard.
Thumb. If it's his scaphoid bone, It makes a huge difference if it's the scaphoid or his distal radius. When we get more information, then I'll come join you guys and tell you the breakdown. Because just like in real estate, location, location, location. In orthopedic surgery, location, location, location.
All right, Dr. Clapper, we always appreciate your time. Look forward to the Weekend Warrior and the Marvin Gaye deep dive on Saturday. We'll listen in. Thanks, man.
You guys do a great job, and thanks so much for including me. And thanks, Chris Morales.
All right, there is the great Dr. Robert Clapper. When we come back, the Rams made a signing today, Ramona, that might be sneaky good. It didn't get a lot of attention, but could be a big difference maker. We'll get into that next. Top of the hour, Fast Track, and at 2:15, Jerry West joins us to talk about the great Elgin Baylor. Ramona Informace, I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mason in Ireland, Ramona Shelburne in for Mace, and Gonzaga is almost into the Sweet 16. They're up 84-70 with a minute to go against Oklahoma, so they're moving into the next round. These two teams are kind of getting into it on the court. You don't want to see anybody get in a fight because they could get thrown out for the next game. So Gonzaga, though, is still the heavy favorite to win the tournament and on to the next round. Okay, so Ramona, today the Rams signed DeSean Jackson. Now, Jackson is 34, but he has the most 60-plus yard touchdowns in NFL history. He has 24 60-plus yard touchdowns. He ranks sixth all-time in yards per catch, 17. And he reunites with Sean McVay, who served as his offensive coordinator for three seasons with the Redskins, mm-hmm. from 2014 to 2016. He's definitely this super fast stretch the field receiver, but he missed 11 games this past season with ankle injuries. Something or nothing that the Rams were able to sign DeSean Jackson.
I mean, I don't dislike that at all. Who Robert Woods is still out there, right? As a free agent?
No. Robert Woods is back with the Rams. They did lose Josh Reynolds.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's going to be the three wideouts to go along with Tyler Higbee, a tight end, are going to be Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, and now DeSean Jackson.
So, and whoever else they go with, right? Like,
right.
This, to me, this is one of those.
Remember Van Jefferson, their second round pick last year from Florida, they're really high on.
They're really high on. And I think that the Rams are in a place where, you know, when you're a contender, when you're a team that's really going for it, you just got to go add a bunch of vets. And it doesn't, I mean, if it works out, great. If he has anything left, great. If he doesn't, oh well. It's like, it's not a big high risk signing, right?
It's a 1 year deal.
Yeah. I like stuff like that. I mean, the Patriots are famous for things like this, right? You sign a receiver who people thought were done, or they fell out of their last team, and then they end up going into the system and having a really good productive year.
What's interesting is, you know, DeSean Jackson's a local kid. He went to Cal, Ramona, which I know you love.
Long Beach Poly, right?
Yeah, Long Beach Poly. And USC really wanted him. And at the last minute, he decided to go to Cal and had a great career at Cal and then had a great NFL career. He's he's bordering on a Hall of Fame career. And you hope reuniting with Sean McVay is going to make a big difference. And we'll see. You know, the Rams are clearly going for it. Matthew Stafford's in at quarterback. Now they've got DeSean Jackson. I think they're basically deciding we've got a window. We've got Aaron Donald in his prime. Let's go. And let's see. That's going to be a loaded division. I mean, if you think about it, the Niners are going to be better this year. Looks like Russell Wilson is staying in Seattle. Arizona's not going to stink. That's a good division.
Do you think Russell Wilson is staying in Seattle?
I do.
I do too, but that whole thing about the Bears saying, oh, we tried so hard to get him, and that's why we moved on to end, but we're convinced that they're not actually going to trade him now. Like, or maybe you guys just didn't give them what they wanted, right? Maybe you're just, this is your cover story for ending up with Andy Dalton as your quarterback. Doesn't that, I mean, that whole story just felt like them leaking something because they got their fan base all excited and couldn't pull it off.
Yeah, I'm not saying the book's completely closed, but what does Seattle do for a quarterback if they trade Wilson?
Yeah, they don't. They trade for somebody else, right? Like, they don't have somebody in the system. Like, you don't replace Russell Wilson.
Right, and so that makes it difficult. Okay, so Ramona, I've waited for you to ask this question.
All right.
Because you are the only other person at the station, maybe other than Kirk Morrison,
okay,
who, like me, is a Raider fan. But as you know, I'm a very frustrated Raider fan. I've been trying to break up with them ever since they traded Khalil Mack. I just can't quit them.
You'll never quit them.
But let me ask you about what they're doing. All right.
Yeah, I don't get
First, they've gotten rid of three of their five starting offensive linemen from last year. They traded Trent Brown to New England, mm-hmm. Gabe Jackson to Seattle, Rodney Hudson to Arizona. Richie Incognito was cut, but then he announced he's coming back. So Colton Miller is coming back, but that's it. And they had a decent line last year. They were middle of the pack. They finished 14th in rushing yards. And also Derek Carr was sacked 26 times, which ranked 17th. So it's not like their offensive line was terrible. It was just middle of the road. So you think, okay, they're getting rid of all those offensive linemen. That's where they're going to spend their money. But right after that, they signed receiver John Brown for $26 million. And literally, if you were going to describe John Brown, he does exactly the same thing as Henry Ruggs, mm-hmm. who they already have. You know, just an absolute burner on the outside. Then, here's the one I really didn't get. They signed Kenyon Drake for $14 million, which to me makes no sense because we have Josh Jacobs, one of the best running backs in the league.
I know.
Now, there's only one coach in the NFL that has missed the playoffs the last 3 years and still has a job, John Gruden. He pulled Mike Mayock off TV to help, and Mayock hasn't seemed to help. 3 years in a row, no playoffs. They were 8-8 last year. If they regress this season, if they go backwards from 8-8, is it time to admit that Gruden might not know what he's doing?
I mean, I'm waiting for the move that explains all of these things. Like, did they let the offensive lineman go because Gruden just feels like they were the wrong fit for the system he wants to run? Is there another move that he's going to make that makes – is he going to trade Carr and it's all going to make sense now, right? Like, is he going to go and get Russell Wilson and then you need a different quarterback? Like, I don't know. But, you're getting rid of your offensive line that was fine.
Right, but like those free agent signings, do those make any sense to you? John Brown and Kenyon Drake?
I mean, John Brown to me is a guy that people always draft in their fantasy league because they think this is going to be the year he breaks out, right? And then it doesn't really happen. right? And then yeah. Drake has been okay. I mean, he's got some upside.
No, he's been good, but he's never going to play.
Yeah. I mean, is Josh Jacobs hurt? Like, what's going on? I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're just going to a different style of play where they're just going to – maybe they want to have two backs because they want to take some of the load off Josh Jacobs. I don't know. What about, Rashard? I mean, he's pretty good running back. I feel like we had two or three good backups last year when Josh Jacobs would get hurt. So it didn't seem necessary.
Yeah, I'm trying to be supportive. I'm trying to, but man, again, one coach in the NFL has missed the playoffs 3 years in a row and still has a job. Every other coach that's missed the playoffs 3 years in a row, done, fired.
How much is Gruden making compared to those other ones?
Well, you get a load of this. Yeah. It's his fourth year of a 10-year, $100 million contract. Mm. So, I mean, at some point, doesn't Mark Davis have to ask, is it working?
So we all went now when Gruden left, he got the kind of money that.
Yeah, he's great at getting money.
Yeah, at getting money. And it was higher. And he got that money to, quote unquote, win the press conference because they were moving to Vegas with wanting to sell season tickets and all and get everybody
excited.
Yeah, it
worked on me. I was really excited about it.
I was excited. But did you buy tickets? No, because there was no fans last year. And now by the time there's actually going to be fans. Not so exciting.
When he refused to pay Khalil Mack, and then I saw what he did with the money that he saved when he traded Khalil Mack, it made no sense to me. And now this offseason makes even less sense. But we'll see. We'll keep an eye on it. All right, coming up next, Fast Track. I got questions for Ramona. She's got questions for me. And then after Fast Track, Jerry West will join us to talk about Elgin Baylor, who passed away today at the age of 86. Mason in Ireland, Ramona in for Mace, 710 ESPN.